Hi, and welcome to the Vancouver Life Podcast.
This podcast is created to answer the most talked about questions when it comes to navigating the Vancouver real estate market.
I'm your host, Dan Wortel, a licensed agent and accredited real estate investment advisor based here in Vancouver, and I'm joined by my co-host, Ryan Dash.
Hi, Dan. I'm also a local realtor, an exhausted father of two, husband of one, and really happy to be here.
Let's get right into today's episode. There is essentially no pumpkin spice being sprinkled on our real estate market this fall. In fact, it tastes rather bitter. And this is, of course, because, well, we've got falling prices, we've got low sales volumes, we've got high mortgage rates, and no significant inventory to choose from. Well, the September stats are out, and we are going to look at what is most important here, dive a little bit beyond the headlines, and compare that with a bit of our anecdotal stories of what we are experiencing on the ground here. So hi, everybody. Welcome back, Dan and Ryan from the Vancouver Life. We are realtors here, and every single week we create these videos for you that basically go beyond the headlines, share what's important, and of course, do this with the intent that you take this to make educated real estate decisions. All right. So let's dive into what happened this week in the Vancouver market. And as mentioned off the top, well, the September stats are out. It's a fast-moving market. They're always interesting. Let's share what we found important this week. Off the top, let's go. Sales volumes. If you've been out there selling or buying, you probably know that it feels slow, and that data absolutely exemplifies that feeling, where in the month of September, we saw about 1,925 homes sell. So this was 20% lower than last month. And that last month was August, okay? And this is typically... Well, this is unusual because, of course, what typically happens is that we see an increase in sales volume when the fall market hits, the fall market being, of course, September, October, and around half of November. But we saw sales dip or drop in September over August. And it's actually the fourth month in a row we've now seen a declining sales volumes metric here. So definitely an unusual market. Been saying that since COVID, but hey, we're still unusual here. Year over year, it actually rose. So if anybody was around this time in the real estate market in September of 2022, well, guess what? It was actually slower back then because we're about 13% more active this month than a year ago. But let's go back even further. Look at the big picture, our 10-year average, which always tells a much more poignant story. And last month was about 26 below that 10-year average. So no question about it. Things are slow out there. Homeowners definitely still stuck in their homes. Buyers not making much moves because their buying power has been reduced so much by these higher rates. So realistically, I think looking forward to at least the end of this year and probably a couple months into 2024, we can expect a similar landscape where sales volumes are going to be low. Home sellers, they just don't want to sell and they can't really afford potentially to move into that next home. And buyers' buying power and just their shock is still in full effect from these high rates. So it is going to be a low sales volume remainder to see the rest of Q4 here pan out.
I really wonder how that's going to, what that's going to do to price, but maybe we can talk about that in a little bit here. For now, let's get into new listings. So there were 5,446 properties that were newly listed in the month of September. That is a 28% increase year over year. I'll take this all day. We need supply, so this is good news. 5.2% above the 10-year seasonal average. Dan brought up a really interesting stat. We were talking about this before the podcast, and what's really interesting about this stat is new monthly listings rarely cross the 6,000 mark here in Vancouver. If you go all the way back to 2005, which captures most of the data that we have, September new listings on average were 4,786. Now, September was only 4,786. That's only 650 less than 18 years ago. So if you go back and look at this chart, It's one of the most consistent charts that we have. And it literally looks like an echocardiogram or a heartbeat of the real estate market. And it cycles on the low end by to about 2,000 and on the high end by about 6,000. And there was only really two outstanding years that were beyond that. And that was in the pandemic when everyone was trying to list and capture as much as they could. And then on the flip side, when interest rates got so heavy, everybody locked up and did nothing, came onto the marketplace. What's also very interesting is that the GVRD has grown by 600,000 people since 2005, but new listings effectively hasn't changed. A couple things have, though. Price certainly has since that time, but it also speaks to a couple of points that we've made for years on this podcast, and that is in so much as that clearly not enough homes have been built in that time frame, because we're still absorbing at a rate where we cannot get enough listings to the marketplace. So it's very, very interesting stat to look at this and understand maybe why prices are where they're at based on a number of available homes and new listings throughout that time period.
All right. So did all those new listings dramatically affect our housing shortage and add some good inventory to it? Well, kind of. It did definitely tick up. So active inventory as of today sitting around 10,650, which is only the second time we've seen the amount of available homes on the market cross the 10,000 mark in the last 12 months. So it did increase, as mentioned, about 7% compared to August, which is a decent increase. And year over year, it's almost verbatim down about 100 units. So very similar to where inventory was a year ago. So wish we had better news on that front. Keep in mind here too, it was only a short 4 years ago in 2019 when there were 40% more listings, meaning another 4,000 listings just 4 years ago. And it's been basically a straight downward trajectory since then. So I do expect to see the upward trend in available homes to continue, but only slightly. We're going to see, obviously, people list in October. The ready buyers are going to probably buy the good ones, and then things are going to slow down in November and obviously December here. So no real radical spike in inventory in the projected future here, I don't think. There's nothing that's really pushing it. And especially like foreclosures, there's always that segment to the marketplace. It's like, oh yeah, you know, we're going to see the marketplace flood with foreclosures. Nobody can afford their mortgages. Well, when you look at the entire landscape of GVRD, there is a grand total of 61 foreclosures available for sale right now. And that number, it only moves by a handful either way throughout the last almost, I don't know, decade or so. So when you compare that to how many active listings are out there, foreclosures represent 0.005% of all active inventory. So again, anyone looking for that deal on a bank-owned property, it's not coming anytime soon. You know, maybe kick that can down the road another 12 months at best. But as of today, no deals on foreclosures available.
So let's get into sales to active ratio. That is my favorite stat to look at, and for good reason. Very rarely do I get to say this, Dan, but the overall sales to active ratio is sitting in a balanced marketplace at 17.7%. This is down 6.3% month over month, right? So again, guys, these don't last for a very long time, especially historically looking at Vancouver. Balanced markets very rarely come around. Buyer's markets are even more rare. We typically sit in a seller's market here. With that being said, sales to active ratio is down 19% since the cycle peak of May this year when it hit 37%, which was a very strong seller's market. This balanced market is the first one we've had since January. Though typically before we call a balanced market, you need to have 3 months in a row of balance, right? So with that being said, let's break it down now by asset class. So looking at detached homes, we are sitting at 12.6% for the month. That's down 1.6% month over month. Guys, this is nearing a buyer's market for detached homes. Looking at townhomes, sitting comfortably still in a seller's market, 21.6%, and very similar for apartments at 21.3%. Although I will note, significant legs down from the previous month, townhomes are down 8.6% and condos are down 10.6%. And A couple of stories here, just because they're anecdotal and speak to this, with a number of different kinds of buyers here, both looking at townhomes, apartments, and detached. We had the pick of the litter when it came to apartments. And, you know, lots of agents really pushing, hey, listen, you know, if you want to, you know, negotiate on the price or terms, you know, that was becoming a big part of the conversation. On the detached home front, you know, we look at a number of homes. A lot of them still aren't of the best quality, but for the good ones that do come along, get this. We were in a East Side multiple offer situation last week on a home from 1952, 1,750 square feet. I'll give it beautiful street, but sitting in the Renfrew neighborhood, so pretty far east. It was listed for $1.699. It received 8 offers, 6 of them subject free. We bowed out when it went over $1.9. And the property eventually sold for $1.950. And this is a home that was renovated 10 years ago and just goes to show that if there are decent quality homes out there, people will still go to bat for them, even under today's current landscape when it comes to higher rates. So very interesting sort of marketplace. The stats tell a certain story overall, but certainly going to be felt differently throughout the marketplace, depending on where you are and the asset class that you have.
Great breakdown. And I kind of almost want to contest the naming convention here, because seller's market and buyer's market, buyer's markets don't really tend to favor buyers outside of the fact that, yes, they can typically go at a property with, let's say, full subjects kind of thing and negotiate on price, which of course is great. But if we look at the all-time highest sales month ever recorded, it was March of 2021. There's never been a month where there was more homes sold, meaning there were more buyers actively in the marketplace. And why was that? Well, most importantly was access to cheap credit, right? March of 2021 was around when mortgage rates were as low as they could possibly go. So buyers were in that sense favored. So yes, sellers were favored too, because almost every home was selling over ask and in multiple offers, subject free, etc. But as soon as the market dips down to what they currently call a buyer's market, sales volumes drop off a cliff. Right? Buyers are like, okay, this is your market, go at it. And yet no buyers want to come to play in a sense. So again, I mean, who really cares here? But ultimately, I think I want to change it from like, it's not a seller's market or a balanced or a buyer's market. It's just, it's an active market or it's a medium market or it's a slow market in a sense.
Yeah. I think, Dan, you're referring a lot to the psychology of buyers, right? You know, for whatever reason, when the prices of something is going up, everybody wants to buy and get involved so they don't miss the train. But really, there is no better time to be buying when things are slower and their inventory continues to build. That's your opportunity to get in at a much better price. It's counterintuitive because I think as humans, you know, when I look at my kids, for example, the only thing they want more than their own chocolate bar is your chocolate bar, right? And so that sort of human psychology, I think, plays in largely in the fear of missing out in this city, right? It's when the market pops and people start going after it, it's like this huge wave that follows it. And, you know, as a buyer, this is probably the worst time to be trying to buy a house. But it's also, lo and behold, when the best property is on the market, sellers are very, very intelligent here, right? And they will pick the best markets to sell in. And that's, again, what we saw in 2021.
Yeah, fair. I mean, there was still a sub 10,000 inventory marketplace then, and yet it spiked to be the all-time highest sales volumes. And let's be honest here too, like if the interest overnight interest rates dropped to a quarter point again, it would be a flood of buyers tomorrow.
Oh yeah.
Because again, but interesting way to look at it. So either way, we are entering into a balanced market, which is a fair title across the board because it's mid levels of activity, and that'll probably persist through the remainder of our 2023 here. But let's dive into pricing, because pricing is doing something that's always interesting. And in the month of September, well, sorry, back in August, actually, we had mentioned that the market had peaked price-wise for this cycle. And whenever we reference a peak or a valley, it's always to do with the HPI price. Even though we look at all price metrics, HPI is kind of the overarching one that you're always going to hear about on global news or what have you. So the peak call, again, always dangerous to make some calls here, but that call may be true as we have now seen our second month of HPI price drop in a row here. It dropped about almost 0.5% last month and is now sitting at $1,203,000. Do keep in mind, we are up like year over year. If you bought a house 1 year ago, it's on average up about 4.5% today from where it was then. And like, let's kind of go a little bit more macro here, because if we remember the all-time high pricing, which was back in April of 2022, about a year and a half ago now, even the HPI, it's only off 5% from the all-time high, which is a bit wild to think, because we've got a year and a half where we've seen rates up 475 basis points, mortgage rates are up 400%, buying power is down 35%, but prices are only down 5%. It's amazing to once again see the resiliency of the Vancouver real estate market. It just continues to find a baseline of buyers, if you will, that continue to pay prices that kind of buck the trends and buck the data here. And sellers are willing to hold on because so many of them have so much equity in it that doesn't really affect them as much what rates do. Yes, different for recent buyers, but you get what I'm saying here. So let's look a little further and talk about median prices as well. So median prices actually jumped up $65,000 last month, but do keep in mind that's coming off of an odd $78,000 drop from the month before. So where's it all settled out here? Median price at $965,000, which again, let's reference that all-time high because we're only 3.5% below where the highest median price was ever recorded, which again was back in April of last year. And a similar story in average prices, right? Average prices actually rose for the third month in a row, up 20K last month, now sitting at 1.304 million. Averages fared even better. Average prices are only 3% below the all-time high seen a year and a half ago. Knowing all this, you can kind of also see another data point here, another reason why people are finding ways to pay their mortgages, because so much equity is typically in their home. And there is, again, proving to be such a resilient asset class that where can you have almost every financial metric beating down upon houses and what should be pushing prices down dramatically, and yet you're only 3-5% under the all-time blow-off top high from a year and a half ago. So people are like, okay, well, this asset, it's so blue chip rock solid right now that, yeah, I'm going to beg, borrow, and steal to pay my mortgage, even though it hurts because it's increased so much over the last 18 months. But either way, the value in that home is sustaining. So I feel confident in retaining it and not selling it or letting the bank take it, for example.
Also, what are your alternatives? You're going to go out and rent for a similar dollar, you know, in terms of affordability every month, right? So, you know, your alternatives don't exactly look any better. And having said all of that, Dan, I'm curious to think, assuming everything remains the way it currently is right now, do you see prices going down for the rest of the year, or do you think they'll nominally stay where they're at?
Yeah, I think they're going down right now, but they're going to go down for the next quarter, let's say. So the October, November, December to wrap out 2023. Gun to my head at this point, I would say we're going to average 0.5% down per month for the next 3 months.
Yeah, I would largely agree with that. I think a big thing will depend a lot on what happens with employment, what happens with GDP. But if supply remains really, really tight, I just don't think we're going to get the movement a lot of people are hoping. But I do think we'll see 0.5% to 1% until the spring market. And that'll largely be because I think the bank will remain unchanged. But again, that's a gun to my head. Let's chat about days on market here. So we're sitting at 12. Really not a big change. It's only down by 1 point here. So, you know, homes are actually selling faster than they were in August by 1 day. But just as we kind of mentioned, I think a lot of the activity will remain kind of what we're seeing now. So it's likely to remain within that 12 to 15 band between October and November. It'll probably increase a little bit in December and January as it typically does. But again, guys, if you're trying to sell your house in today's marketplace and you've been sitting now for 30 or 40 days, chances are your price is the issue, because the data is telling us that you should be moving your home within about 2 weeks.
Perfect. Yeah. And interesting to see it speed up when it had been slowing for a few months in a row here. But again, maybe there's a hint of that fall market that came into play, at least in the days on market. Mm-hmm. But okay, there you go. You kind of got our predictions as to sales volumes and prices for wrapping out the rest of 2023. But there's other things, of course, that we're paying attention to. And one of those is that 5-year Canadian bond yield. And it's just been ripping this week to the upside, which of course means fixed mortgage rates will follow. Fixed mortgage rates are set to increase 0.25 basis points probably in early next week, which again reduces people's buying power, which puts more of that bitter taste in people's mouth, and again puts people on hold. So that's really going to compound the slowdown effects that we're feeling. Sentiment will get hammered a little bit more, and people just be like, ugh, I'll wait until rates start to peel off before I come back to consider the marketplace again. So that'll feed into slower sales volumes for the rest of this year for sure. Ryan, what else do you see happening out there?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if you've been paying attention to the markets in the last little while too, you've seen a significant leg down in the marketplace over the last 2 months in the US markets. I think that that's a residual effect of higher rates, and I think we're going to see more of that here in Canada. I suspect we'll see a further GDP slowdown, because those rates that we, you know, induced in the last 18 to 20 months, they're really kicking in right now. And we're really starting to see that. So I think it's going to be a quiet fall and a very quiet winter. And I think we'll see where the narrative's at in the springtime. So I just don't see the levels of activity that we normally see throughout the month of September to generate the momentum required to have a fall market that's kind of worth talking about. So that's kind of where I see things.
Yeah, totally agree. And do keep in mind, we are about 2.5 weeks out here now for the next interest rate announcement that is taking place October the 25th. We are going to do a special edition podcast that day with Mikhail Ferreira from the Bank of Montreal. Whether it's a hike, a cut, or a hold, it will push the market in a certain direction. So make sure you look out for that episode. But for now, thank you as always for tuning in, and have an awesome Thanksgiving weekend. Gobble, gobble.
That wraps up this edition of the Vancouver Life Podcast.
For more information on this podcast and to access a ton of free downloads, investment opportunities, current market info, and homes for sale, you can find it all at www.thevancouverlife.com.
Thanks, and we look forward to bringing you more podcasts about Vancouver real estate.